Well, you're listening to the 1 Minute Apologist podcast with Dr. Bobby Conway. Today, we're going to be listening to another one of the Pastor Perspective programs with Brian Broderson and Bobby Conway, answering listener questions on K-Wave. Check it out.
Welcome to the 1 Minute Apologist.
1 Minute Apologist.
Apologetics seeks to give credible answers to curious questions,
to give a defense.
All right, let's go to Texas and talk to Jenny. Thank you so much for holding, Jenny. How can we help you?
Hi, pastors. I'm hoping you might be able to give me some guidance. I have a coworker who I've been praying for and kind of trying to build a relationship up to share the gospel with him. He grew up in the Mormon faith and has walked away from that. And I thought that's kind of pretty much all I was dealing with as far as kind of his background. And I invited him to church a couple of days ago, and he then told me that he follows, I guess for lack of a better word, the teachings of a book called The Disappearance of the Universe. And I wonder, first of all, if you know much about that book. I already know it goes in file, circular file. and if you basically can give me any guidance on how to, I guess, talk to, witness to, and I'm sorry, Pastor Bobby, I'm not a real good apologist, but talk to somebody who, I mean, from what I know, from what he's told me, this stuff is pretty out there. Are you familiar with that book at all?
I've never heard of that. Have you?
Can you turn your radio down or however it is? I hear some feedback going on back there, Jenny. But can you tell us the name of the book again?
The name of the book again?
It's The Disappearance of the Universe.
I've not heard of it, no.
No. I haven't heard of it. So did he go to church with you, Jenny?
Yes, Jenny.
No, I just invited him on Tuesday.
Yeah. Well, you know, I would say just continue to extend that invitation out there. I mean, there's a lot of books. There's a lot of weird books. There's a lot of weird things that people read and get caught up in. But, you know, the gospel is the power of God to salvation. And, you know, sometimes a person is just, you know, they're waiting to hear the truth. They don't even know they're waiting to hear the truth, but they haven't heard it before. And when they hear it, it's like, wow, no, that's true. So I wouldn't despair feeling like, oh, you know, he's into this book and therefore, you know, there's no hope of reaching him. I would think that, I mean, there's plenty of great books that you could offer him, suggest to him to read, to give a perspective. I would wonder if he has any, you know, you said he was a Mormon previously, but I wonder if he's ever even come into contact with any true, real, you know, biblical Christianity. I just saw there in that little excerpt, though, the Ascended Masters. So, yeah, this is obviously typical New Age kind of stuff, which is just a hodgepodge of a bunch of different ideas.
Mm-hmm. Any insight, Bobby?
My apologies. I had stepped out for a moment, and so I missed basically the first portion. So it was about the book, and is it about New Age?
She has a friend. She's wanting to share with the friend. She's invited the friend to the church, and the friend has a Mormon background but has left that, and now this book, this is kind of the thing that the person's into.
You know, one thing that happened to me, I like, you know, what you were mentioning, you know, God can just work through it all. There was a book many years ago that you might remember called Embraced by the Light.
Yeah.
And that was written by a Mormon. And so somebody gave me this book. I was a new Christian. I didn't know how to discern. It took me months to figure out that forefathers was spelt F-O-R-E. I was looking for the fourth one and finally found out that my spelling was off on it. But this whole thing with this Embraced by the Light book, I read this book. And I loved it. And then I met my wife, and when we met, she was talking about this book. Well, we were both new Christians, and were bonding around a heretical book.
Wow. Oh, man.
That we did not know how to discern through. And we're like, this is amazing. And yet God was bringing us together. And then later, you know, I would learn, oh, you know what? This is off. So one of the dangers is when we just jump right in and we just start picking books off the shelf and we've never read the Bible, we have nothing to measure it against. And the Bible, you know, the book, the canon means a read. It's a measuring. And so it serves as sort of a compass for us. It allows us to measure against. And yeah, so my wife and I bonded on a heretical Mormon book, and yet we ended up evangelical Christian. So
there's hope.
So there's hope.
All right, Jenny, hope that answers your question. Thank you so much for calling us today on Pastor's Perspective. Let's come back to California, talk to Nicole in Huntington Beach. Hey, Nicole, welcome.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi. So I have a question. Me and my boyfriend were having a conversation last night about marijuana. And my question basically came down to if someone is intoxicated or is high under the influence of marijuana and the rapture happens, will they miss the rapture?
Okay. Now, is there a specific reason you're asking this question, Nicole?
Yeah, he does smoke, and I leak sometimes, and I give in with him, but I feel really guilty about it, and it's been something that's been on my conscience for years, and I was talking about it last night, and I said, you know what, I'm going to call Pastor's Perspective tomorrow, and hopefully get an answer, because it weighs on me really heavy. Mm-hmm. He seems to think no, but I think so. And doesn't it say in scripture to stay sober and stay alert because he can come back at any time?
Yeah, that's exactly what it says. So now, you know, we're going to go a little bit of a different direction here. Just with your boyfriend. So you have a conviction, which I think is legitimate. It's the Spirit of God convicting you. Mm-hmm. Your boyfriend has no conviction. Is your boyfriend a Christian?
He is a Christian. I don't know if he's born again.
Okay.
I am.
Okay. Okay. Just for clarification, unless you're born again, you're not a Christian. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's cultural Christianity. There are lots of people who would identify as a Christian just because they're not a Buddhist or they're not a Jew or they're not an atheist. Mm-hmm. But a Christian in the biblical sense is somebody who's born again. And when you're born again, you have the Spirit of God living in you. And it's the presence of the Spirit in you. And that's what's happening with you, Nicole. The presence of the Spirit in you is informing you, this is not right. Now, since he has no conviction about it, I would question whether the Spirit of God is really at work in him. And you might want to, this is maybe a bigger question than you wanted to address when you called, but you might want to really consider, why am I in a relationship with this person? Because you want to be in a relationship with somebody that's going to build you up and help you progress in your relationship with Christ, not someone who's going to try to convince you that you can compromise, get high, and, you know, don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. God's okay with it. Because God's not okay with it. It's, you know, the scripture refers to sorcery, witchcraft, and it uses the Greek language, of course, as the New Testament was written in Greek. It uses a word, and that word is pharmakia, and that is the word that is the basis for our word pharmaceutical. And so, because all throughout history, there's always been a connection between what we know today as recreational drug use, but that this is not new. This has happened all throughout history, but it's always been connected more blatantly with sorcery and witchcraft and those kinds of things. Now it's sort of indirectly connected to it. There's still a connection, but it's not so obvious because people aren't sitting around, you know, in front of an idol getting high or chanting to of God getting high. In some cultures they are, but that's not happening here generally. So, but your conviction about it is the right conviction.
I figured that.
Yes.
Okay. I just, of course, I needed that second voice, so I appreciate it.
Okay.
I have some work to do. So
yeah. And
so
listen, God's got a plan for you. Mm-hmm. And don't let somebody else determine, you know, how you respond to that. Just give yourself to the plan of God and let him do the good thing that he wants to do in and through your life.
Right.
Okay.
How long have you guys been together, Nicole?
A little over 3 years.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it's been a tug of war for this whole time.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's the Bible. The Bible talks about an unequal yoke. It talks about, and the picture is from, you know, it's a picture of like two animals that are not equal being hitched together. And so the scripture says, using that analogy, the scripture says that we're not to be unequally yoked. So a believer and an unbeliever together is an unequal yoke. And that's going to be detrimental to you. You know, you're gonna get, like, more than likely you're gonna get pulled down rather than you pulling him up to where you're at.
I want to save him.
Yeah, but you can't do that. But God can save him. But sometimes, but sometimes you got to get out of the way so God can save him because you can be preventing that. You know, quite honestly,
And one question too that you can always maybe throw at him is, you know, what is it that you're trying to escape? You know, what is it that you don't want to live with, thinking about or dealing with? You know, if that's kind of a consistent thing that's happening of just trying to just completely be oblivious to, you know, what's happening. You know, again, I'm assuming you guys are talking about smoking a lot of weed to, you know, be intoxicated and not even be thinking about what's going on, just to check out, to feel good, you know, but what's going on there? What is he not willing to look at? And I think sometimes those are some questions that bring us to a place of surrender when we have to trust God with things that are hard, you know? We all get it, you know? Life is hard. Life is emotional. Emotions are that blessed curse, right? We love them when we feel good and we hate them when we don't. And we don't always make the best choices to try to assuage our uncomfortable feelings. And so what's going on there? Maybe get into that kind of depth with them.
Sure. Yeah, I can try. Do you think it would be worth having a conversation about being born again as well? Or should I leave?
Well, I would start there. I mean, I think that's really, you know, I mean, you can just open your Bible to John chapter 3. And right there in verse 3 and verse 5, it's very clear. You know, Jesus says, unless a person is born again, they cannot enter or they cannot even perceive the kingdom of God. And, you know, just hit them right with that question. Hey, are you born again? Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe he just needs to have somebody ask him that point blank.
Yeah. What if he thinks he is? Because I think he thinks he is.
Yeah.
And
well, then you know, you maybe probe a little deeper. Like, well, why do you think you're born again? And what does it mean to be born again? And, you know, you can go from John chapter 3 to 1 John chapter 3. And in 1 John chapter 3, it talks about what happens when you're born of God. And those who are born of God do not continue to live in sin. For God's seed remains in them, and they cannot continue to live in sin. So you can just say, okay, this is tells us you have to be born again, and this over here tells us what happens when you are born again.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
John chapter 3, Gospel of John chapter 3, and 1 John chapter 3, verse 9 specifically.
Okay.
Hey, you know one of the best stories that I've heard when trying to explain, like, what it means to surrender? It's a true story. It's about a guy who would walk on a tightrope many years ago across Canada to New York at the Niagara Falls. And then he would walk a wheelbarrow on it. And then on one occasion, the story's told that he would yell, "How many of you think that I can put a person in this wheelbarrow and push somebody across?" Well, they've already seen him walk on a tightrope. They've seen him walk on a tightrope with a wheelbarrow. And you know, everybody's ready to scream, you know, "Yeah, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it." Well, the person screaming the loudest, he looks and says, "You get in." And I think when it comes to Christianity, a lot of people say, I believe, but the Bible says even the demons believe and shudder. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven, Matthew 7:21. So I think that that faith, that surrender, it's saying we're willing to get into the wheelbarrow with Jesus, like to follow him. And that's a very scary, vulnerable place to be, but it's that surrender. That's faith, trust.
All right, Nicole, okay. I think we've given you a lot to think about, and do you have any other concerns, any other questions?
I appreciate it. I think I want to take him to my church as well.
Yeah.
And hopefully.
Good.
Yeah.
What's his name? What's his name?
Ricky.
Okay. We're going to pray for Ricky right now and you. So, Lord, we do pray. We pray for Nicole that you give her strength. And we pray, Lord, that you'd speak to her about your love for her, your plan for her, and what you want her to do, independent of Ricky. And we pray for Ricky that his heart would be softened, Lord, that the blinders would be removed from his eyes, that this self-medicating through the marijuana and all of that, Lord, whatever's at the root of that, we pray that you would reach down and just bring him out of that darkness and into your marvelous light, Lord, that he would be born again, and that even your words that Nicole would share with him would pierce him and bring him to that place. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate all of you and your program. I learned so much. So
great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole. Yeah. I want to tell you about another resource we have. It's our website, calvarychapel.com. There's a link that says how to know God. In case he has any other questions, maybe he can read through that, and okay. That might help as well.
Great. I will. Thank you.
All right, Nicole.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling us today on Pastor's Perspective. Brian Perez here, along with Pastor Brian Broderson from Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa in Southern California. Also, Bobby Conway, the one-minute apologist. You can find out more about him at oneminuteapologist.com. All right, here's a call about the Song of Moses, which is recorded in Deuteronomy 32. Margarito in Hesperia, go ahead.
My question is about when Moses was going to pass away and our Heavenly Father was going to give him, I believe, a song. Just wondering that question. Thank you very much. Guys, have a great day.
Okay, so I guess he means, why did he give him that song? I don't know.
Well, the song, it's called the Song of Moses, but it's really a song that God gave for the people, for the nation itself. And it's kind of just a rehearsal of their history, of their revolt against God and of God's mercy toward them. So it'll be something. You know, actually, the book of Revelation says that the 144,000, they sing the song of the Lamb and the song of Moses.
Mm.
And so it very well could be that's the song that they sing, which is, again, it's like a rehearsal of their history.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Did you want to add something more?
Well, I just think it's, you know, pretty refreshing considering that he was going to die. He was never going to get into the promised land, but he could have this recital of many blessings to come and who God is and his grace.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we forget that in the midst of a tough time.
And yeah.
We need to,
oh, yeah.
These songs can help us, give us perspective. Yeah. And I'm so thankful that, you know, I'm thankful for those who've endured tough times, like Job, right? Like, I'm glad that there's one person in the Bible I can always point to and say, well, it's not that bad. And I'm just glad that I didn't have to be the example that everyone looks to and says, hey, you know, at least I'm not like Bobby.
Right. All right. Next, we're going to hear from Sharon in Anaheim, who uploaded her question as a voice message using the Messenger feature on Facebook. You can do this, too. Just make sure it's a high-quality MP3. That way it sounds like you're in the studio with us. It's the next best thing to being there or here. Let's listen to Sharon's questions.
My sister is Catholic, but she's been watching a lot of Joel Osteen, and she's starting to get into Christianity. And I started with Joel Osteen. I do have his book, and until later on, I've listened to Greg Laurie and Charles Stanley and the Refuge Radio Pastor's Perspective. And now I have grown in my faith, and I realize that Joel Osteen is like, it's prosperity gospel, But I do have a book here, and my sister is kind of like a fan of Joel Osteen. If I give her the book, will I cause her to stumble? And my second question is, with regards to Sarah Young's Jesus Calling, I just wanted to get some feedback, if that's a good book to give to friends and family for a devotional. And thank you so much. And I listen to you every day. Thank you for all that you do.
All right, Sharon, thanks.
Yeah.
Brian.
That's great. And it's, I believe that Sharon's listening to us right now.
Yes.
Because she listens to us every day. So, you know, Sharon, I would give her a different book. I would give her The Purpose-Driven Life by Pastor Rick Warren. And I think that would be a fantastic book that would probably help her. And, you know, giving her a Joel Osteen book, it's just, you know, I mean, it's not the end of the world. It's not like, oh, no, she will never get saved if she read a Joel Osteen book. But I just think, why not give her a really good book that's going to help her to make a good, clear connection? You know, kind of like you said, you sort of came to faith through the Joel Osteen route, but you've realized as time's gone on that there's problems there with the prosperity and all of that. So, you know, why even send her down that road? Why not just put her right on track with a good book and Purpose-Driven Life, best-selling Christian book of all time. You know, many, many people have read it. It's a great book. And I think she would really enjoy it. So that would be my recommendation.
Yeah. And what about the, what would you say that for the Sarah Young?
What do you think, Bobby? You're familiar with
that
book?
Well, I think with that book, I mean, it, you know, they could go over to like equip.org and they've done some stuff on Sarah Young, CRI's group. One of the things that people will pose the problem with is kind of incorporating words into the mouth of God and, you know, what he would say over us. I don't have a problem with that imagination as long as it's scriptural. But I don't remember that the particular background, but I think there's some New Age particular book, and I wish I could recall the name of it right now, that this has been heavily influenced by. But you have to fact check me on that as I speak. Mm-hmm. But I would go to equip.org, type in a search engine, and just see if there's anything there on that. But that's the red flag that I've heard, but, you know, I haven't camped out a whole lot on that.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me of a book. I used to read a book years ago when I was a Roman Catholic, and it was called, it was something like My Daily Bread. I don't think that was actually it, but it was something like that. And it was like little devotional thoughts that were, you know, sort of like Jesus speaking to you, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember reading that, and there was, you know, there was nothing like outlandishly heretical in it or anything like that. And sometimes it would be kind of comforting and good. When I've heard about the Jesus Calling, it just kind of reminded me of that book, you know. And I know people that think that this book is really, really bad and you shouldn't get anywhere near it. And then I know people who really love it.
So, yeah, same experience.
Yeah, so it's one of those things. It's like, well, and you know, I mean, I don't want to downplay, you know, the fact that there are dangerous doctrines out there that we really want to warn people against. But sometimes I don't want to overstate the case either. I think sometimes people, I just recently somebody said they were upset because they were at an event that we were doing and because the song that was sang had doctrine in it that could really stumble people. And I just thought, really? I don't know if I go that far. You know, I mean, if you're going to build your life around a song, there's probably more problems than just the song.
Good point. All right, that is all the time we have on today's program. Thank you so much for joining us. We will be back tomorrow. So if you didn't get your question answered today, give us a call tomorrow. For Pastor Brian Broderson and Bobby Conway, I'm Brian Perez. Have a great evening. God bless you. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe. If you want to help spread the word, please leave us a 5-star review and tell your friends about this resource. Also, be sure to check out our YouTube channel and blog for more credible answers to curious questions.